This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. It's been an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday with all kinds of fantastic things happening out there. We only have an hour left for all your questions, so let's do it. Hey, real American hero. That's why I chose to read this email, Chris. I like when people know how wonderful I am. I prefer to read those emails. I try to cut out as much commie crap that I purchase as I can, but I can't bring myself to stop shopping at Target. Their deli is awesome. They have the best selection of Legos, and I don't feel like I'm going to be stabbed at the one here in Tuscaloosa as opposed to the Walmart. Does this make me gay? Well, one, yes, but two, I've never ever judged you for where you shop. We talk about where we should spend and not spend our money. But I am the least qualified person to judge you on the planet for spending money here or spending money there. We have made as a family huge efforts to try to stop funding communism in our house. We're going to cut this out and we're going to stop that and we're going to stop that. But if you were to go through our books in our house and look at our credit card statement, our bank statement, it would not be difficult to say, well, wait a minute, you just shop there. Look at what their CEO said. Wait a minute, you shop there. We try not to. I try to make an effort if I need something to look up, is this a good company or not? Remember, we did that with that sock company last week where everyone wrote in, you got to try these socks. And so you dug into it and you said, oh my gosh, this company's a commie, crappy company. Don't buy. Okay. You think I haven't shopped at Target? That's the only place we ever shopped when we first got married, Walmart and Target. When we first got married, financial reasons being what they are, we needed furniture. We got all of our home furniture, at least the majority of it, at Target. Do you know how horrible that furniture is? I remember we were just married and we needed a new bedroom dresser, you know, for socks and undies and things like that. And we needed one of some size. It's got to be enough for me, enough for her. And we went down to Target and got this big dresser. It was $150 for the whole dresser. $150 is huge, Chris. And that's when I learned a valuable lesson in life. When you buy something, a huge indicator of the quality is how many pieces there are you have to put together. The more of it you have to put together, the crappier it's going to be. Because quality stuff is generally mostly put together by them. I unpacked this dresser and I don't think there was a single part of it where two different parts were together. Nothing. You've never seen this many little nails and screws and nuts and washers and what, Chris? What? Chris said, did I get it together? Well, I got it together. We didn't keep it together. All right, so I put together this whole dress, whole thing. And every single part. This was, I bet this took me 3 or 4 hours. Just me sitting there following the instructions, putting the thing together. But it also, the front of the drawer was glued on. It had these little wood screws and it had this glue. And I swear it was freaking Elmer's or something. It smelled like, I know it's terrible. And I'm gluing on the face of the drawer, the front of the drawer. How long do you think glue's going to last on something that you're constantly pulling on? And remember the basic physics of this. The rail system of the drawer in the dresser it's not exactly top end. It's not high end. It's going to be a little off. It's going to be a little stiff. So you have a stiff rail system with a face of a drawer that is held on by glue. Look, I don't exactly have to, I'll just go ahead and spoil it for you. The face of the drawers kept coming off. We would just, you'd go to grab the drawer and pull it open to get some socks, and it would just pull right off. And Ovid, it just got to be a joke in the house. Ovid come down, hey, we need more glue. The drawer fell off. We need more glue. You do get what you pay for. In so many, in almost every part of life, you get what you pay for. I've made that mistake so many times in my life, especially when it comes to furniture and furnishings, that, look, I got a deal. Look, this one's good enough. Look, this costs half as much as that one costs. Let's get this one. And every time I do that, I end up hating myself for it after the fact. Every single time I do it. I've done it with noise-canceling headphones. I wanted some noise-canceling earbuds, noise-canceling headphones. I seriously think I've bought 3 or 4 pair of cheap, garbage noise-canceling headphones trying to save some money. After the 3rd or 4th pair broke, shorted out, I finally bought the Bose. You know, everyone knows what Bose is. Greatest thing I ever bought. I ended up spending 3-4 times in total what I could have spent if I just bought the nice one to start out. Anyway, long story. I get it when you shop at Target, man. And sometimes you got to shop at those stores just for price necessity. Just out of price necessity. People aren't made of money. And now that inflation, now that we're all 20-25% poorer than we were before we shut down an economy for a chest cold, now, some people just, it's a necessity to go to these big, soulless corporate stores that have, you know, tranny gear in the kids' section, because that's the place you can afford toilet paper. That's the place you can afford peanut butter. And it's, you're never going to get me to sit there and tell you that you need to have a lower standard of living for political reasons. I can't do that. What right would I have to do that? Hey, Jesse, I'm a French-Canadian living in Quebec. Oui. This summer, what, Chris? Speak to people in their native language. I visited West Virginia and discovered your show on WWVA 1170 AM. I love them. Gosh, I love West Virginia. You know, I grew up in Ohio. I told you this, and we used to go down to West Virginia for vacation because it was right next door, and you could just drive there. It didn't cost much. Chris, they have these fascinating caverns there. You would enjoy them. If we ever get back to West Virginia, you would enjoy them. You're going in deep into the heart of the mountain. You feel like you're going to run into one of those Lord of the Rings characters down there. It's amazing. Anyway, the guy says, I dreamed of visiting West Virginia since I was very young. I'm a 60-year-old gay man, and I should feel guilty for laughing so much listening to you, but I can't help it. Back in Quebec, I listened to your show on iHeart. You are right about communism. I can tell you've read Animal Farm. I've spent a lot of time in Cuba, and I know exactly what you mean. Best regards. He said, say hello to my imaginary friend, Chris. People think Chris is imaginary. I don't know why they think that. Hey, Jesse, longtime listener, first email. Where is Antifa gone? They're still there. They're still there. They're still active. But, you know, We've talked about these stories a couple times before about this university or that university getting caught changing the name of its DEI department or DEI director. You know, you hired Shaniquius Tavifia, and she was, of course, she was the DEI director at your college. But now that DEI is on the outs, and now that the Trump administration is cracking down on it, Shaniquius still needs a job somewhere. So instead of being the diversity and equity and inclusion director, now she's with the Office of Belonging. They didn't change what Shaniquius's job is. Her job is still to make sure white kids can't get into college. But she changed the label. She changed the name. Antifa, the large international, remember, it's not just national, international, the large international communist network of street animals, they didn't go away. They didn't stop being street animals. They just may not call themselves Antifa anymore because the Trump administration determined that they're domestic terrorists. Communists don't change their ways. They change their labels to try to avoid scrutiny when one label is under threat. That's how they do things. All right. The Save America Act. Why don't Republicans want honest elections? How do they find out where these ICE agents are and more? Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Here was Tom Homan.
We're going to create a database where those people that are arrested for interference, impediment, assault, we're going to make them famous. We're going to put their face on TV. We're going to let their employers in their neighborhoods, in their schools, know who these people are. Because as you said, a lot of these people, they say they're taking time off work to protest. I bet you a lot of them are calling in sick. I bet you a lot of their employers don't know what they're doing. But we're going to make sure everybody knows who they are. We're going to broadcast. They want to broadcast the ICE officer that was nearly killed all over the internet. We're going to broadcast every one of these people we arrest.
Wise one. How do the protesters find the information as to when and where the ICE agents will be operating? All technology, all of it, throughout history, it's used by not just your allies, it's used by your enemies. Technology of any kind will be used for good, and it will be used for evil. I've argued many times, and I believe this, that for all the evils of social media, that it is in the end going to end up being a huge net good for society. And people will push back on that, understandably, because there's so much damage that is done on social media in so many different ways, which we'll get to in a minute. But my argument is darkness can never withstand the light. It cannot. Communism can never withstand the truth. The truth is what ends up defeating it all the time. That's why they censor. That's why they smash alternate voices. Communism cannot survive if the truth keeps shining through. Social media allows you, not just me, the big radio platform, you can find truth. You can put truth out there. You, today, possibly, can say something on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. You can say something. Maybe somebody famous will repeat it, retweet it. Maybe someone else. Maybe a million people will see what you say today. It's powerful. It's powerful. That's the good. That's the good part of it. The bad part of it is the ability to organize groups of people, to recruit and organize groups of people, has always been a communist specialty. It really, really reveals itself when you read about communist regimes, how much time they spent on recruitment. I'd compare it to a college football coach. I would. You know, these college football coaches, yes, they have to spend time on X's and O's and defense and things like that. They spend so much of their life hunting down the greatest high school football players in America, calling them, texting them, showing up for a visit. So much of your life as a college football coach is spent recruiting. It has to consume you, because without the best players, you ain't winning a thing. Communists spend an equal amount of time recruiting. It's their everything. They're always looking for the next scumbag to bring into the fold. And social media, one of the many bad things about social media is it puts those recruitment efforts at their fingertips. You ask how they always find the location of ICE agents? Everybody with a cell phone now can communicate the location of anybody. Anybody. They already created an app. So communist Democrats across the United States of America, when they find the location of ICE, they upload it to the app. Well, that app of course, is monitored by the communist front groups in the United States of America in its real-time traffic. Think about this. Speaking of traffic, there are all these apps like I think Waze is one. I don't have it, but Waze is one. I think it's called Waze, Chris. Waze is an app where real-time you can find out if there's a cop 5 miles ahead in a speed trap. You can find out if there's something in the road. Somebody dropped a cone off the back of a truck in 2 miles. It's real-time uploaded. Now information is accessible in an instant in our society. And there's a lot of good that comes with that. And there's a lot of bad that comes with that. Social media, in a lot of ways, it's tailor-made for communists because communists recruit. And what a fertile recruiting ground they've found with the internet. It's not just normal people like you who use the internet to check the latest sports scores and laugh at an inappropriate meme and look at a video of a puppy. There are a lot of very miserable, lonely, violent people who spend all their time on the internet. Wrap your mind around this. I heard a story about this the other day. It was about a criminal. It doesn't matter. But of course, they tracked down the guy's media history, internet history, as all cops will do, as any law enforcement agency will do. This dude spent on average, over 16 hours a day on the internet. What? Over 16 hours a day. There are people who are broken and they're just ripe for recruitment. All right, more next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, I've been working 54 years, 40 at the USPS. How about that? I tell my wife it's time for me at 68 years young to call it a career. She says, okay, but what's next? I tell her volunteer to dog walk, senior softball, travel, cook something nice, learn a new song on my guitar, maybe coach, things like that. Bottom line is to stay active. Isn't that reasonable? As long as you have a plan to stay active. People say retirement kills, and from what I've seen, that's only applicable if you don't have something you want to sink your teeth into. I have told you before that I'm not going to do this forever. I don't think it's healthy to do anything in show business forever. I've seen too many people do this for long enough. They become just absolutely nightmarish human beings and lose who they are. So I don't want to do this forever as much as I love it. I just love it. I'm not going to be doing this when I'm 70 years old. I think that's terrible. Friggin' retire. Let someone else have it. But I have grave concerns for myself about retirement. I'm not going to be able to retire completely because, as Jewish producer Chris always makes fun of me for, I don't really have hobbies. And before you email in, please keep in mind, that's not a choice. I have always wanted something, a hobby that I am super passionate about. What, Chris? Chris said, I am super passionate about history, that maybe there's something there. And maybe there is something there. You know, maybe when I retire from this someday, maybe sit down once a week and just do a history thing, something like that, something I can nerd out on. But maybe you have a hobby, and you probably do because most people do. Whatever it is, I was talking to Harmeet Dhillon the other day with the Justice Department. She knits. She does knitting. She does quilting. Obviously, that's not going to be my thing, but she loves it. I was so jealous. I'm generally not a jealous person, but I want a hobby like that. Maybe you do model airplanes. You golf. or you fish, and I'm not talking about something you do, because I golf, right? I fish. I do that stuff. But I don't think about how sad this is. I'm not asking you to feel bad for me, but it's Friday right now. When we get off work here, I'm going to go home, probably have maybe dinner with Ob. Maybe we'll watch a show or something like that. But this weekend, I don't know if we have any kids sports things. I don't have a hobby this weekend that I'm looking forward to. Not one. I'm 44 years old, and I have spent all 44 years of my life wanting one, and I don't have one. Isn't that sad? I want one. I don't have one. I don't know if I'll ever be able to retire. Now, I will probably die young, not trying to be morbid, but the Kelly men do not live very long. My dad outlasted most of the men in his family, if not all that I know of, and he didn't make 70. He was a few weeks, I believe, shy of 70 when he died last year. That's probably going to be my life. I may have to work until I die. But if you have hobbies, retire when you're done, man. You don't have to friggin' chase that grind every day, all day. Go spend your life with your husband or your wife or your kids, or if you're single, do that. Travel like you've always wanted to travel. Play golf. Chris brought up a very good point. That is a great time to sink your teeth into local government. Doesn't mean you have to retire at 68 years old and go run for Senate or something like that. But man, that's a great time to get on the water board. That's a great time to get on the city council. It's a great time to dig into that kind of stuff. My mom, who's obviously retired and a widow now, I love what she does. She has this group of friends, all these little old ladies. They're listening right now. I didn't mean to call you old ladies. Love you. She has her group of friends, all these little old ladies, and they do politics. That's what they do. Meaning, I'm talking about the foot soldier type. On a Saturday, they meet. They want to get the exercise. They're out knocking on doors. They get together at night. And of course, they bring probably gross old lady food. And they sit down and they'll send letters out for on behalf of candidates in campaigns. It's a great time if it interests you, if you're passionate about it, because you have more time now to sink your time and your energy into local politics. And at the end of the day, if your knee's bothering you, it's just because you haven't taken your relief factor. That's the only, what, Chris? It's the only reason. You're in pain because you're inflamed. I'm not talking about the Lindsey Graham type. You are in pain because whatever hurts, there's inflammation there. Your body's already fighting it. Your body needs help. That's why it still hurts. That's why your back hurts. That's why your foot hurts. Why don't you try a supplement instead of reaching for a pill bottle or a wine bottle or ignoring it? Why don't you try a supplement? Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. Natural ingredients. They sell three-week quick starts of it for $19.95. Just try it. Every day for 3 weeks, just try it. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to relieffactor.com. Jesse, it feels like Trump really messed up with this Iran business. Red lines and then tells them to keep protesting. Help is on the way. Then holding off. I don't know. He's all over the place and a lot of people are dead. I know there are a million things going on behind the scenes. It's really complicated, but making public posts that are inconsistent with action looks bad in a situation like this. Do you know what's going on? No, I don't know what's going on, and I'm going to say something that's going to make me sound like a terrible person, understandably so. I am cheering for the Iranian people. I don't want anyone anywhere in the globe to live under some horrible Islamist regime where women are beaten and abused and all that. I know that's horrible, man. That's a horrible place. However, I can't bring myself to care about things in Iran when we have hostile foreign city states trying to murder ICE agents for deporting foreigners here. My focus has been and will continue to be on the communist revolution that is currently being fought inside the borders of the United States of America. Now, yes, Donald Trump said something publicly. Hey, don't hurt these protesters. Hey, protesters, help is on the way. And then we didn't bomb anything. We closed the airspace one night and everyone thought the bombs were coming, but then the bombs didn't come. And I don't know what deals, what agreements were struck behind the scenes. I don't know that. I know nothing. Sometimes things don't look good. I know. I can't make myself care about Russia, Ukraine. I can't. I can't make myself care about Gaza. I can't make myself care about Iran. The Venezuelan military operation was really cool. And I understand why we're doing what we're doing. I get it. And I get it. I can't make myself care. Greenland. I'm happy if we get it. I understand why Trump wants it. I don't talk about it a ton because I can't make myself be super passionate about it when we have a communist revolution happening inside our borders. I am the ugliest of ugly Americans who has ever lived, and I'm only getting uglier with age. I care very much about my country, the United States of America, and I'm sickened at the thought that there's a chance it might go to a bunch of savages to tear it apart in the future. That is my passion. As far as Iran goes, remember that the mullahs, whether we drop bombs on them or not, they already have a tough, tough road ahead. A very, very tough road ahead because economically they can no longer provide for their people. And that more than anything, more than bombs, that guarantees the end of a regime. All right? All right. We only have one segment left. We have to talk about everything from restaurants to the Save America Act to everything else. All right? And do they know they're communists? All that's coming up next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We shall return on Monday. Don't worry for Medal of Honor Monday. You can still email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I can't believe these people are in Congress.
ICE is beyond reform. ICE is totally out of control. And this week, I intend to introduce a bill to abolish ICE.
You will go to Bangkok Palace. Now there is a new Maharaja. And again, the palace has the power of the dark light. It is that place. Kill my people.
It's dangerous stuff. Hello, Jesse. Do you believe it's common for someone to not even know they are a communist? If asked, they can become quite offended. Despite President Trump, and they seem to believe socialism is simply a better way. My husband and I enjoy listening to your radio show on 1190 KEX. Oh, yeah. We're senior citizens, Christian conservative Republicans, hang the American flag. We love your family stories about your lovely wife, two sons, and beloved dog, Fred. God bless you. Fred's an idiot, all right? Remember I told you we had to take a work trip recently? I'm embarrassed at what I'm about to tell you, all right? Fred is in a constant state of anxiety and or depression unless every member of the family is physically present inside the house and at least one member of the family is giving him love and affection. I know, Chris, I've never had a dog that needs to be on Xanax before, but we've seriously considered looking into it. Otherwise, he's upset. There is nothing that puts Fred into a deep, dark depression faster than suitcases. Because now he knows the second the suitcases come out, someone, maybe everyone, is leaving. And of course, That means they're leaving forever and life is over and it's a disaster. This has resulted in our house. Gosh, I'm so embarrassed. We sometimes put Fred in the mudroom and close the door so we can transfer the suitcases from one bedroom to the other bedroom so Fred won't see the suitcases. I forgot to do that during this last business trip that we took. I just wasn't thinking. I went and got the suitcases, and as I wheel the suitcase into the bedroom, Fred is staring at me. And then he will not leave my side, no matter what. As soon as he saw the suitcase, desperate to keep me inside of the house, he was never more than 6 inches away from me at all times. And I bring this up to Ab, and she starts yelling at me, "What did you do to him?" And I said, "I grabbed the suitcase." She said, "You know you can't show him those things." Gosh, Fred. Anyway, as far as people knowing they're communists, no, your liberal Aunt Peggy has no idea that she's a communist. Most of them, some of them know that's what they are. You know, you have the Black Lives Matter people coming out saying we're trained Marxists. Many of the elites, certainly the people who run the communist street animal groups, they know they're communists. They're trying to be communists. That's their deep desire. But the average run-of-the-mill Democrat, they don't know they're communists. They'll push forward every single evil communist policy. They'll talk about destroying rich people, tearing this down, handing this out to this undeserving person. They'll talk about things, equity, but they won't ever realize that's truly what they are. Because communists are very careful with their words. You know how they lie about everything all the time? Communists are aware that communism, after 100 million dead bodies, kind of has maybe not the best reputation globally. And so they don't call themselves that. They call themselves, "I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive. I'm a Democrat." No, I'm not a communist. I'm just a Democrat who thinks that white people shouldn't be able to own homes. What are you talking about? Just a Democrat, just a progressive. No, they don't know they're communists. And they were taught by communists who oftentimes also don't know they're communists. It is important, however, that we use that term for them, not just because it lets us know what we're dealing with. There's a chance it finally gets through to some of them. That's what they are. And that's what they are. Dear Menu Whisperer, long time, first time. My wife and I are traveling to Texas Gulf Coast soon. We'll be spending just one night in the Houston area. As a fellow foodie, I'm hoping you can point us to the best spot for a great local meal, preferably on the south side. We like the mom-and-pop hole-in-the-wall places, not the hoity-toity foo-foo stuff Chris eats. God bless you and your family. We love the show. Says I can say his name. His name is Justin. All right. So I'm going to say something. You want hole-in-the-wall. You're going to the Texas Gulf Coast. Go to a gas station. Chris, let me finish. You know what? Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. There are gas stations all over Texas. It's very unique. That serve food. Now, stop. Everybody, maybe you're doing this right now. I have gas stations that serve food. You know, we have Wawa. We have Quick Trip. No. You know, I'm not talking about big commercial ones that have a kitchen and they'll cook you up a pizza and some mozzarella sticks. I'm not talking about that. In Texas, they have gas stations. This is very common. And they have little kitchens in the back and they rent those kitchens out to Mexicans. And you'll have these, what, Chris? You'll have these little Mexicans back there, these little Mexican ladies. And you walk into this gas station, you know, you're just trying to get some chips or a beef stick or something for the road. And you see these little Mexican ladies whipping up food in the back. Maybe you're thinking, oh, that's garbage. You're probably about to eat the best Mexican meal you've ever eaten in your life. Go get a couple tacos at a Texas gas station. They're all over the place. I don't even have to give you a name. That's good living right there. All right? You Put your phone down if you've been too stressed out. Enjoy your weekend. Our problems will be here on Monday. That's all.